So would you agree with that assessment from Matt Browning that white supremacy is a growing issue, an issue that needs to be dealt with here in Australia?
Well, absolutely, absolutely. And not only I agree with that, I think you'll find that ASIO at the moment in Australia is also coming to a very similar sort of opinion. They're not framing it in terms of white supremacy, but a larger term, which is far-right extremism or right-wing extremism. It's a growing problem, has been for at least 5 years or so. And with the current COVID-19 global emergency, there's a very good chance it's going to become more pronounced down the track.
What kind of activities do we see associated with white supremacy or this far-right extremism?
Well, it's a very hard thing to define. There are a lot of different types of groups in Australia, around the world. Some of them are connected internationally. There are a lot of individuals. There are a lot of online groups. We have mavericks like Brenton Tarrant, the man from New South Wales who went to New Zealand and attacked those two mosques. You know, what is it that joins all these things together? One way of thinking about this is as a narrative, a basic narrative, which is that white people, as they conceive that, are under threat. White culture, as they conceive it, is under threat. It's under threat from some enemy, often considered to be Muslims or Asians or Jews, and something needs to be done about that. And that can be anything from a strong authoritarian state to a social renewal, or when you get to the more violent terrorist side of things, it can be the destabilization of society and the creation of a new society, which is based on some sort of white supremacy or white nationalism.
Would it be fair to say, amongst media reporting and amongst the perception in the general public, this one is an under-recognised issue compared to the likes of Islamic extremism?
Absolutely. I mean, ever since 9/11 and even more so since the rise of the so-called Islamic State, we've had a huge amount of media interest and media fear around forms of terrorism that call themselves Islamic. We've had a huge amount of rhetoric and discourse from government, federal government, and so on about the challenges from Islamic State and Al-Qaeda. We've had a vast amount of our intelligence resources diverted into monitoring potential threats from within what is effectively our Islamic communities. And because of that, this growing threat from within, so to speak, of the far right has been acknowledged, but it's never really been funded, it's never really been studied, it's never really been taken as seriously, perhaps, as some of these more sort of overt forms of terrorism, such as Al-Qaeda and Islamic State. For instance, in Australia, there's no far-right organisation at the moment that is included on any of our terrorism watch list or groups that are defined as terrorist groups. That just doesn't exist in Australia. Whereas in the UK and the US, there are some far-right groups that have been added to their terrorism list.
In terms of the reaction, I mean, you mentioned ASIO is one that would sort of agree with the assessment we mentioned before. In terms of what's being done with prevention and control, what measures do we see taking place?
Well, we get the usual intelligence and law enforcement approaches that you get with all forms of violent extremism or terrorism, which is intelligence, interception of potential plots, some form of disruption or perhaps arrest, and potentially, you know, prosecution as well. You know, we've just had this young man in Nowra a couple of weeks back who's actually been charged with terrorism offences. He's only 21. You know, it's one of the very first occurrences in Australia of someone from a far-right group or perspective being charged with these sorts of terrorism offences. But in terms of the softer stuff or the sort of more broad societal responses, we don't really have much of that in Australia at the moment. So, you know, for the last 10 years or so, we've had a lot of societal programs about creating social cohesion and creating a sense of togetherness in our society to try and dissuade people who are marginalised or angry from being attracted to Islamic State or Al-Qaeda or something like that. We've had these, what are sometimes called CVE programs, not a great term, countering violent extremism programs. But we haven't really had much of that focused on to the far right in Australia. It hasn't become an issue of public concern or debate. It's not something that state or federal governments have put as much money towards in terms of trying to promote social cohesion around, you know, these groups that are sort of splintering away from the mainstream of society.
Well, given, as we say, and just perhaps as a final point, but given we're talking about a lot of online extremism, a lot of people being radicalized online again, and we take it to that point you make about Islamic extremism and the programs we've seen discussed around that, and have a conversation with these men, these young men that might be angry for whatever reason. Do we need to have further education and a further conversation with angry young white men to stop them from being radicalized?
I would say 100%, absolutely. I mean, we're looking at an economically depressed situation over the next, we don't really know how long. We don't quite know what the implications or fallout from the current global pandemic will be. But certainly, our situation right now is ripe for conspiracy theories. It's ripe for xenophobia. We've already seen far-right groups trying to blame Chinese or immigrant groups or Jewish groups for the creation of COVID-19 as some sort of a bioweapon. We get conspiracy theories that are sort of moving around society very quickly at the moment. And I think that the more we can try to address groups of white people who are going to be economically impacted by this and are going to be turning perhaps some of them to scapegoats and are going to be also perhaps turning towards a desire for strong authoritarian government to try and deal with this problem, we're almost certainly going to see a rise in far-right rhetoric and narratives. And so the more we can try to address these communities and try to have open up discussions with them to bring them back into sort of broader civil society, the more violence potentially and civil disorder we can prevent at the moment, which would be a good thing.
Well, Julian, I do appreciate your time. Thanks very much for joining us this morning.
Absolute pleasure.